touch with these. He had a 900-pound tow over in Kazakhstan, so it's starting to look better. We don't expect any change in either shrimp or crab until the pinfish go down.
Yeah.
Well, the temperatures have warmed up. There's a tremendous amount of rotation out there. But we've pulled, personally, I've counted 55 tanner crab in the stomach of a cod. I've had captains come in and claim up to 125 tanner crab in my cod. I've seen, we took observers aboard and went out in the flats, and I watched them cut open the gray cod. It had five adult female king crab, soft shell king crab in the stomach. And the one just had the legs of the crab sticking out of the mouth, mm-hmm. hadn't fully digested it yet. A lot of king crab stomach flaps. Mm-hmm. The egg flaps, female egg flaps in the stomach, the cod seemed to turn the soft shell, rip that flap off.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the crab would probably pretty helpless at that time of softness of
that. Right. Were you involved at all with the researchers going off the Chiniac there with the tanner crabs, the sub that came down and was saying they were stacked up like?
I talked with them, yeah. Yeah, that was real interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'd love to see some footage of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another interesting deal with that sub, you know, they drove there and found there was no bottom vegetation. We were pretty sure that, you know, that mm-hmm. Mother Nature was taking care of that. And it appears to be really feeding the crab, too.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
They dove over in the control area over on the other side here, out off of Abercrombie. And I was talking to the guy, and he said they went down the face of that cliff. And it was like a stair step going down. And he says, every tread on that stair, said there'd be a number of huge elephants laying on those stairs.
And
I tried to get in there with my cruiser, but the tide and stuff, you can't anchor there.
Right.
I'm going to try it again this summer, find some slack tides and see if I can get on those.
I know there's some great fish right off there. Mm-hmm. Well, out a little deep.
Yeah.
Seems to be somewhere you get some of the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
I find that unusual for them to be laying on the
right on the flats. It's really surprising if you're going down that stair set and there's all those halibut mm-hmm. rest in there.
That's one thing I only really miss is the halibut.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, there's nothing like a beautiful sunshiny day on Kodiak to be out there and fish in the water calm. Even though I've been out there, it's real ugly too.
That's kind of evolved into part of my job here too, is taking all the politicians out of sport fishing. Had Congressman Studs out, he's the mm-hmm. chairman of the House Fishing and Marine Fisheries Committee now. And Billy Towson, Carp, Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Any number of them out fishing. Senators from Texas, that was an interesting trip. Had the senator and his aide and his wife on board. Wife's about 95 pounds, I guess. Right off the bat, she comes up with about 110 pound cod.
Wow.
And she did it herself, too. She got it to the surface, and we gaffed it. Got the board for her, and she rubbed it in. And no, you know, the rest of us were all catching fish, but, you know, not as big as hers. And that poor guy wasn't catching nothing. Finally, I said, well, we got about 15 minutes to go, and we're going to have to get back to town. He was getting ready to go, and he got a hit. Took it. Pardon?
I'm on a quick air, I'm off
the ground. Okay. Something hit. God, oh, why did he get hit? God, let him get this up. He spot for about an hour, and he brought about 170 pounds. Boy, that made the day.
I haven't hit my big one yet.
Yeah.
Like, usually I get them, feast or famine, I get, start catching small ones, and then I'll hit a big one, they'll either bust them all out or straight out, have them straighten out my squirrels, and then do everything easy.
Our biggest one that we've landed so far, 329 pounds on 80 pound test line.
Wow.
Your brother caught that. Nobody's, in our group, nobody's beat it yet.
Mm-hmm.
When we had studs out, he came up on a real quiet visit. You know, he had some Coast Guard work you have to do. He had the U.S. Fish and Wildlife work you have to do also. He had part of the bait and so. Oscar and I agreed to take him and his aide, what his aide's name is, take him out fishing. We went out by Hannon Rock there in my cruiser. Got out there and kind of winked at Oscar and I says, you know this place a lot better than I do, you know. I'll go take care of the anchor, you put us on the fish. Watching the pedometer and the radar and stuff. Finally, okay, he said, let her go. Drop the anchor. Get back there and bait the poles up. And we were right on top of the nest. And we just started catching them left and right. Really impressed that senator, that congressman, I mean. Jeff Pike was his aide's name.
Mm-hmm.
He got back into town there. Got the fish all taken care of. Some time to go, but they had come over in a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Super Goose. And the congressman, we got him off to the airport and we went back to Marshall. Yeah, he went back to Marshall and Jeff was supposed to go back with the supervision. The weather really set down. We kept calling, another hour waiting for weather. Finally, we drove out there to the headquarters on Buston. One guy there kind of looked startled. Where's the pilot? Oh, he went to the airport. We ran over to the terminal there, and there's no Super Goose there. Drove over and got permission to go to the tower. And said, oh, yeah, that guy left about 2 hours ago. Hadn't even called us. Like, oh boy. And Fish and Wildlife has been giving us some trouble about landing our wheel planes and float planes down on the bird refuge.
Mm-hmm.
They were trying to outlaw airplanes, they were trying to outlaw snow machines, they were trying to outlaw everything on the bird. Like, is there anything I can do for you guys? Yeah, make sure they don't outlaw us. We control our budget. They're going to rule the day they left you sitting here. If we're still flying airplanes in and out of there.
So you still fly?
I still have half interest in the plane. I don't fly much anymore. Son's the pilot.
Mm. Yeah, I tell you, that's another thing that's great here at Kodiak. The flying is beautiful. You know, 1 week to the next, you're going to see something totally different every
time.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. And we've got he and I went together and originally we bought a J3. He was fishing on my boat up to Brian's Sea. A friend here in Kodiak worked over at the tech center. He had a J3. Uh-oh, the skipper's still in town.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy got transferred to India. I had a chance to pick that J3 up for 3,000 feet. So I grabbed that, and that's how I got started playing.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Oh, they're still foaming.
Still foaming, huh?
After they built it in 42, there wasn't a lot of maintaining.
Oh, God, that was. I came up first in 1946. My brother, oldest brother, Oral, had been in the Army up here, and when the war was over, he stayed here. my brother Bill and my mother and I came out of Montana on that old steam engine train over into Seattle. Mm-hmm. I was 10 years old at the time. Went to, up the top of that Swiss tower. I don't know, it was 15, 20 stories, I guess. You're coming out of western Montana, you know, that thing. That was really impressive. Mm-hmm. Then when we got up to the top, God, you could see forever. It was the tallest building west of the Mississippi at the time. And you look at it now in that nest of skyscrapers, you can hardly even right. see it. We got on the SS Aleutian there, an Alaska steamship. Sailed up to Cordova where Morrow was. Mom and Bill worked in the canneries there 6-8 months. Went to school. Just couldn't make it until my dad would come up. He'd been born in Montana in 1888. But he'd never been out of state. He wasn't about to be in the state. We went back down that summer. He died in 53. 54 was sold out. Zagging all over the place. You had to get full food and blood bolts a few times. Caps, they have a cap station right there in the blood bolt. Mm-hmm. It's way beyond. Guys make them run with mud bolts and get the feathers to cross. Okay, and you get boots, raincoat, standing there with his hook, hook onto you and drag you on through. You got up about 110 miles south of White Horse. Bearing went out on the wheel of the trailer. Pulled out the side of the roof there. Pulled it apart. Put the bill, took off the pickup to see if you could find some parts. Homemade trailer. Had a 1935, 1940 LaSalle accident. Trying to find a bearing for the LaSalle of White Horse.
A lot easier to find an axe.
Yeah. I don't know what we ended up doing, but we were parked alongside the road for 4 or 5 days. There was a lake right down across the road. We had our fishing gear down there. We were casting out into the lake. We could see shadows, we could see fish. Finally, I cast it down the shore and brought the line back along the shore. I've never seen a muskrat in my life. Muskrat. Mm-hmm. That thing hit off from under the bank to get that. I got it up on the bank. Boy, I didn't know if I wanted it. Yeah, I was used to little tiny brook trout, mm-hmm. German browns, maybe a ringo or two, and that thing, boy, it had teeth. Mm-hmm. I caught a bunch of those, took them up, cleaned them out, mom put them in there, and they phoned me. Yeah, it did. Got the trailer fixed, came on up north. Grand move then. You know, the equipment was still on the road between anchors and the sewer. They just built the road. Mm-hmm. The pavement, you know, they built it probably 10 years previous. Mm-hmm. They just had just paved. Boy, that was just like traveling on a cloud after that 1,800 miles of gravel.
Yeah, it's probably the best that road's ever been, too.
Yeah, right. We got on down into Seward there. I finished school. Mom got a job there in a running coffee shop at the Longshore North, 4th of July grid. They had plastic grid lines and put a document so they could haul ammunition. It had to be 3 miles from a settlement. Brother was working there running the harbor tub where I was by that time. graduated from school and went to work for the Grammy National Railroad. B&B group came, bridge building, raised all of, rebuilt all the bridges between Missouri and Hutter. Ron Snell and I graduated together. His dad got us the job on the railroad. Snell's now currently like making a section director of manager. Even a section director. Worked that summer there and worked for a while on Harbor Tug. The log tug going log to mine in Bay Harbor. Got on the California with my brother. With those ammo barges and the dew line barges. A lot of we had to have Coast Guard. We had to have security clearance for that. And then every once in a while they'd bring something through and they wouldn't tell us what it was. We'd have to have the Coast Guard inspectors on board. They'd come and look for it. Winters were real good. The tanker was closed down with ice. There was nothing to do. Summertime was relaxed. Barges went up there unless it was an ammo barge or a secure barge. That's when I bought the first trip. 2 months' wages from that job. Bought a four-place fiber cutter, wheels, tees, boats, hangers, and instruction for 2 months' wages.
Days are gone.
Yeah. You know, just tremendous wages on that boat. I bought it from Tom Keller Club. I worked about 2 years before the CEA caught up with me and told me I better get a license. I love drinking. I work for some days then.
Mm-hmm. How many days did you spend on the island? Do you remember?
We were about 15 days, I think, all together on the island. It was us. Oh, God. We'd tape that trailer shut, and every morning we'd tape it shut. We'd pull off someplace at night to sleep. We'd take all the blankets and stuff outside and shake them off. If it was muddy or raining and we didn't get the dust, well, then it was dry. Well, that was an adventure coming up that highway one day.
Even now it's an adventure. Yeah. So. I drove it up, became Cape Cod up here, left Cape Cod January 31st, drove the Alcan in February.
Boy, I've never driven it in the winter. I've driven it about 7 or 8 times. Well, once in the Super Cup. That was a lot of fun. My nephew-in-law was a guide out of Seward. He bought a Super Cup down in Austin, Minnesota. He asked if I'd help him fly it up. We went down there and picked it up. Checked it out. We started cross country with that Super Cup. We bucked the wind all the way. Our first stop, we had a crosswind on both streams. Just a terrible crosswind the way that airport was set up. And then he says, well, we've got to get fuel. So we've got to make these crosswinds. So right where the two strips crossed, came in and lit arm across directly into the wind. Then taxi got up to the service station there. They'd been watching us, but they saw us trying to get down. Mm-hmm. Where the hell are you guys from? You can fly an airplane like that. I've never seen anybody land an airplane like that. We had cars passing us, though. Going across the Dakotas, they were staying pretty low and watching the ground, sightseeing and stuff. And those cars would go right on by us. Might not have them. They had a plane that was equipped with a manual navigation instrument at the time. I kept them either on the fuel or the left, right needle. We're flying the radio waves.
Right.
We got up to Great Falls there, and that's my home country. Lenny's learning how to use this thing. He's watching the charts, and he's watching that needle. And over Great Falls is the road splits. He looks at these needles and starts going down the road this way.
Where are you going?
This is the beginning of the Al Camp.
I'm going the wrong direction.
It's not. It's the needle says, go this way. You better read that damn needle again, because I know where we're at. Hamilton's up there. Mm-hmm. We go on up. I had friends there in Hamilton. That was part of my deal. We'd stop there and visit with them. Mm-hmm. Rick dropped this by for you.
Oh.
Well, the guy that my mother had adopted kind of lived with us in Milton Hall, right? So we stopped there. Average support. We used to go hiking up all the time. We stopped there. Mother came and his daughter and super kept letting her go back up to the lake. It would take us all day to walk in. And pull him up there in about 15 minutes and brought him back. He'd never been in a little lake on the corner of his life. I didn't get to.
We're coming up and come to a, I drove a 27-foot motorhome up, and we started out from Toad River and was heading up to a pass. Whiteout conditions, you couldn't see anything. And all of a sudden I heard a noise, I thought transmission was coming out. I see a set of wheels go right across the top of the camper. An airplane flying the rodeo.
Yeah.
What you doing, Cruz?
This is our large economy sized bear dog.
Uh-huh. At the side of the bear.
Half Roscoe, he doesn't quite know. Set up the Pearl Wash Landing. We stopped there for a few. The attendants filling the tanks up there. Your plane come into the pattern.
God, he says that's the second PA-12 today. Don't see very
many PA-12. Guy came in, made a real nice landing.
God, he says that's almost identical to that one was through this morning.
Guy taxied up, it's the same plane. Then it kind of got a grin on his face, and the guy got out of the airplane real crazy. He says, I need to fuel up again. Tim says, what happened? Then he knew what happened, because the road right there just beyond the strip, the road goes out this way, on up the Al Camp, and there's a road that looks a lot more predominant. It takes off and goes up into the mining country. And more than one pilot is taken off from that strip.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's the road. Ends up at a dead end up in the mountain.
Have to turn around and come back.
Guy says, where are you guys heading? We're going to go on a white horse tonight. Mind if I fly with you? So we were flying, no problem. We took off first, and we took off before he was right under our way. We got past that intersection, and really apparent that we were going the right direction. So we got up a little bit. We watched him, and he PA-12s quite a bit faster than the Super Cub. Well, he got down on that highway, and he followed him. We were up higher a couple of corners and so we kept up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he wasn't going to get lost again.
Hey, that's an uneasy feeling to not know where you're at.
Yeah.
Where to land.
We got up, came through customs there. Oh. When we were ready to get home, we tried to figure out whether we should fly the highway on down to Anchorage and down into Missouri to just climb out and go to the bus. Yes, it's absolutely beautiful day. What's the latitude? climbed up, get right across that wilderness, came up right in Rose Ridge. Yeah, so that was really self-esteem. A little bit spooky, dude, before we were way up in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
Cutting across like that. We have plenty of fuel to make it to 1 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
The, Lenny stayed in Titan for quite a while. He was married to one of these. He was flying for fishing game. He was also working for Alaska Steam. Had the ship came in one day and he was supposed to be doing a stream count. He asked one of his grandchildren, why don't you go ahead and take my ship and go do me a favor and take the fishing game out. Go up there to head our alligator so they can count that stream. I got too low, thought it would be a part of what he planned to go for. Then he said, that's it. He says, I lost too many friends, too many close calls.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done for him. That was it. He didn't place the point at all. He was also the head of the CAP there, so he was an earthquake kid. They brought the helicopters in. So he was flying. Supplies Anchorage and Clear, one of the big universities that turned over helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
They were coming out of Whittier. He was there, my cousin Frank Hirsch was there. They were waiting to get aboard. They didn't have enough room for both of them, so Lenny got aboard and Frank stayed on the ground. The helicopter went up over the bridge there and off the rotors out on the bridge. Down on the glacier.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one casual we had in town. Mm-hmm. That was kind of good. He had a good plan. See the handwriting on the wall. Got it as a passenger.
Mm-hmm. You do a lot of traveling, I guess, when you work.
Right now, yeah, I've been to Europe probably 5 times in the last few years. The great mission was set up by Hammond. Germany, Scotland, England, Faroe Islands. A lot of that work we were doing at that time, I was kind of wondering whether political trips or what. Made one side trip up to Lubeck, Germany, up to the Bader plant. They were working on a playing machine there and they took us down to Bremerhaven to show a prototype in operation. We were running on
CC.
I told the technicians that the fish looked just like that, smaller eyes. Mm-hmm. Yes, almost the same thing. We don't have any way of handling it. Well, can you get us some? After that trip was over, I came back here and I got a hold of Hank Pennington with the Sea Grant. And Jeff Collins out of the National Fisheries Service. He sent the Don out and had him make a phone and bring some pollock back in. Took it out to wet that there and give some gold. We pulled some 20-30 pound logs. Nips flew it over to Germany for us. Took that bottom component. They modified that machine to handle that fish. Then they asked us if we could, if they sent the machine over, if we could test it for it. We were going to run it first down on one of the Tom Fish down in Seattle, the boat show. Damn ship that's back in Panama, so it missed the show.
Mm-hmm.
Or they were all together, they didn't want to. Told them to send it out up here. We met with Jim Majors and asked him if we could run a test with him if he could keep the product and stuff. Put the machine in there and looked at the reel, the 3 4 fell. The bottom 180. Hamilton Center Sphere. It's really opened up. Very busy. And to try to drive through, they wanted to develop a way of handling politics before we had anything going for a base to. We spent 3 weeks in trying to Beijing, Yantai, Dalian. We came out of China with a letter of intent for 30,000 tons of coal, first of all, and an agreement that we would teach them how to handle coal. That began with Hank Pennington and C. Grant. Being that this product was only caught by Alaskan boats and frozen in Alaskan shore-based plants at the University of North Alaska, agreed to send Hank over to Yantai and Dalian. Up training classes. They had shown us how they played fish in terrible, terrible ways. As far as the plays went, but they utilized everything. They didn't waste anything. They just had a different method of using it. And the only thing that was marketable in the U.S. was fillets. The University of St. Hank over there, he spent probably altogether about 4 months in various plants of their teaching the people how to play there. They came back to town. We tried to make arrangements for plants here in town. We ran into a stumbling block. Not enough culture rate in town. And the Chinese would use their bone breakers to haul and throw the product, but they had to have 1,500 2,000 tons before they could come over. And we couldn't screen that up. Cold storage and things were. Port Sealand, APL, the cost of getting it into Shanghai and then up to Bell here was way, way too expensive. That project didn't last. But the fallout of that was, created so much interest in China that they went to Germany and bought 4 factory dogs. And they agreed in exchange for directed fishers that they would do joint ventures also. And again, hired the Alaskan dogs. And they got the quota immensely. Yes, it didn't work out very well at all. They formed a corporation for each mothership. We tried to explain to them that the mothership didn't have the capacity to handle each single boat. Way out of the process of the capacity of the motherships. They wouldn't believe it, they were real suspicious of each other, so they formed 3 different corporations. If they'd kept the 3 vessels together and hired construction boats, all I could do was outside the buildings. There couldn't be anywhere to sign up with the product and the report and stuff we did for them. But they finally went to straight record fishing.
You got your kids with you?
Yep. And, they're over, they've got probably about 8 or 9 vessels now. They're doing somewhat better. Well, they're over in the peanut bowl now instead of the bone. The sea of a cusp. Working on their houses. Hello.
How you doing, Al?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good.